Romans 12. We're going to start our reading at verse 9, just to get the context and the wider picture. And we're going to read through to chapter 13, verse 7. And our text are the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13. So Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then our text this afternoon. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes is owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. Praise be to the Lord. Let's bring this word before him in prayer this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this afternoon to submit to your word to us. Open our hearts now to your word. Spirit, speak to us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past Queen's Birthday weekend was a very special weekend. Can anyone tell me why, from the boys and girls, why was this past Queen's Birthday weekend very special? Not because we had a holiday. Let's get that out of the way. Why was it very special? 70 years for Queen Elizabeth. 70 years. We learned about 50 years of marriage this morning, but 70 years. Any of the boys and girls, can anyone tell me what the 70-year anniversary is called? It's a what? It's a... Well, can any of the adults tell me? Platinum. It's a platinum jubilee. 70 years. And they had a celebration. 4 days in England. 4 days of celebrations. And why not? For most of us, she is our queen. Who has Queen Elizabeth as their queen? Most? Yeah. No, some not still? No. Actually, I have my foot in both camps. Still have King, now I'm really showing it, King who? From Holland? King Willem, that's right, sorry, apologies. Hopefully the king's not listening at the moment, and also Queen Elizabeth, put in both camps. But for most of us, she is our queen. Imagine what she has seen in her reign over those 70 years. Imagine what she's experienced, the good and the bad. On the whole, though, her reign has been a good one. And our queen is a faithful believer of Jesus Christ. Now, it's clear her health isn't so good nowadays. She's cutting back, but it seems that her intention is to die on the throne. But as queens go in history, she is one of the good ones. One of the very few Christian rulers in the modern world. How many people have heard or listened to some of her Christmas messages? If you haven't, it says it's more of us older in the, longer in the tooth perhaps, but well worth listening to, because she always speaks about the message of Christmas. She always points people to Jesus Christ, something that's very rare nowadays from our leaders. And so in some ways, it's very easy to sing God Save the Queen, isn't it? She's a faithful ruler. And God has saved the queen. He has, he does, and he will. And when her reign ends in God's time, nations will mourn. She is still, in some ways, a figurehead, but she remains, at least at the moment, at this moment in time, our queen, our ruler. We are called to submit to her. And it's not that hard for us to do so, even if you are a Republican. I won't take a poll on that this afternoon either. God save the Queen. But what about God save our Prime Minister? God save Jacinda Ardern. I don't know about you, but that doesn't come quite as easily to me. I struggle with many of the decisions that our Prime Minister has made, the direction where she takes us as a country. Even though, arguably, that as a nation, a navigation through COVID is one that the world looks to. God save our Prime Minister. And as we come to this topic in the Westminster Confession, the topic entitled Civil Magistrate, we do so in God's providence. I'm thankful that we didn't have to wrestle with this passage in some ways personally in the middle of COVID. But as we come out, it's an appropriate time to ask these questions. How do we live under authority? How do we live under a civil magistrate, which is an old term for how do we live under our rulers? Now, a fair warning this afternoon, you may not agree with some of the implications or some of the applications that I draw this afternoon. You're free to disagree as I make some comment on some of the events of our nation over the past couple of years. But what I do want you to go away with, agree or disagree this afternoon, is the understanding of the biblical principles with regard to submission to authority. When you decide whether you're going to submit or not, what things do you weigh up? This afternoon we're going to see, and our theme is that we are to submit to our God-given authority. We are to submit to our God-given authority. 3 points this afternoon, and our first point is called to obey. Called to obey, as we look together at Romans 13. Jacinda Ardern is God's gift to New Zealand. Jacinda Ardern is God's gift to New Zealand. Now, again, I won't take a poll. Do you agree or disagree with that? If you disagree, you're disagreeing with what we read here in Romans 13. Now, you may say, well, I'm taking that a bit too far, but listen to it. Look at our text together with me. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Now, in one way, as a country, as a nation, God has given us what we asked for. Again, I'm not going to take polls this afternoon. We'll leave the poll for the big poll next year. But whether you're a Labour supporter or not, the truth is that as a country, we asked for, or enough of us asked for, Labour to lead us. They have and still have maintained a clear majority, the largest majority in MMP, so much that they are the first party to be able to govern alone, outright. But our text tells us more than that. Our text tells us that God has appointed Jacinda Ardern and her cabinet as our rulers. God ordains the process of elections, and God also ordains the process of dictatorships. He placed Jacinda Ardern as our leader. Now, she may not believe that truth, she may not agree with that truth, but it remains a fact. And that's actually reassuring. It's reassuring that God has placed her in authority, because it reminds us that God remains in control. As we learned and as we looked and sung and prayed through Psalm 2, we're reminded that King Jesus is in control. No matter what power is placed over us, Jesus Christ remains king. And yes, from time to time, over the past 2 years, some of us have forgotten that truth. That no matter what happens, no matter what decisions are made, agree or disagree with them, Jesus Christ remains king. He is in control. It's easy to forget that sometimes when the government brings in laws and continues to bring in laws that are so against his word, laws that are starting to encroach on our freedom as Christians here in this country. But that idea that authority has been placed there by God has more implications for us, stronger implications, and we look at that in verse 2 this afternoon of chapter 13. Note what it says there. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. That's pretty strong, isn't it? A good couple of months now ago, during the Parliament occupation, one of the groups that came to the fore was a group known as the Common Law Sheriffs. Anyone heard about them? Read about them? Someone has. A few people have seen and heard about them. Another wonderful import from the United States. The idea is there, but the idea of Common Law Sheriffs is that there is some sort of law that applies. And our current government wasn't part of those laws. Our current government has no right to rule. And this group went as far as deciding that our leaders need to be arrested. They put out a warrant for their arrest. And the death penalty, I kid you not, by this group was also passed against our leaders. Now, it's not hard to see that a group like that is in total contradiction to what God's word says here. Now, of course, when it comes to obeying authority, there are degrees to which and shades of which we do need to and not need to, and we'll come to that along the way. But the principle is very clear. When it comes to obeying or when it comes to rejecting authority, we need to be very careful and tread very carefully because of what God commands us in his word. What does that mean for us practically? It means that when we decide to protest, if we decide to protest, that we need to be very careful and think about what we read in passages such as Romans 13. Whether or not the protest in Parliament was right, and I'm not going to speak on the rightness or not to that. But when our government and the rulers and those placed in authority dictate that people must leave, as it was, and they did so patiently over a number of weeks, not leaving. The terrible scenes that we saw in Parliament, on the forefront of Parliament, that was not obeying and following God's will for submitting to authority. Obeying, and the call to obey, means obeying those in charge, showing them respect, and yes, giving thanks too, that no matter what happens, God remains in control. Strong words here in the beginning of our passage this afternoon. But what if we can't obey? What if the government is wrong? Well, hold those thoughts. We're going to come to those. But in the following verses, we read about the role of authority placed over us. And that brings us to our second point this afternoon, called as God's servant. Called as God's servant. And it's speaking here about leaders. Now, I spoke a couple of weeks ago about a friend who got a speeding ticket. I don't know if you remember that. I don't want to go through the whole example again. But he came into this meeting and he was blustering about this ticket that he got and how it was terrible and how the government was claiming revenue. Can you remember my foolproof solution to that, that I suggested to him? Foolproof solution to avoid getting speeding tickets? Not speeding. That's right. Not speeding. And it's that kind of concept that we have also here in our passage. Verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you'll receive his approval. At a really simple level, if you don't want to come, you don't want to fall foul of a traffic officer, you obey the rules and you don't speed. But of course the government's role is bigger than that area. But it's a good general concept that Paul outlines here. As a general rule, our government is called to do good. Our government, as a general rule, restrains evil. And when we break the law, we can expect to be punished. That's why we have laws. We complain too if those laws aren't enforced, if we don't see that the government is doing that fairly, don't we? And one of the reasons, and our passage explains that here for this afternoon, that God has placed people in authority is to restrain evil. If we didn't have leaders, we didn't have rulers, then we would simply have anarchy. And in verse 4, we are reminded that the government, our leaders, are God's servant for our good. But if we do wrong, in second half of verse 4, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Here we have the picture of Lady Justice. Boys and girls, do you know who Lady Justice is? You've seen some pictures of her. What does she have covering her eyes? Can anyone tell me? What does Lady Justice have covering her eyes? Hunt, you've already had a turn this afternoon, you may not answer. Anyone? She has a blindfold, yes. She has a blindfold so she can remain impartial. She also has holding something in her hands. What is she holding in her hands? A balance. A balance, yes, scales, to measure up good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. And then she also has something else in her hand. What is that? A hint, it's here in the text. And she has a sword in her hand as well to mete out punishment, to ensure that justice is upheld. And that's the charge to our government, to rule and to ensure that the law is kept, that order remains, that evil is restrained. But what about when it goes wrong? When can we not? When should we not obey that authority? Well, in Daniel chapter 3, and we're not going to turn there, but we know the story. In Daniel chapter 3, we have an example of when it is appropriate to disobey authority. We've read the story, haven't we, boys and girls, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they defied the king, and how God protected them. Now, that doesn't mean that when you obey authority and the government punishes you for it, that you'll escape punishment. An angel will come and take you away. Or keep you home and protect you, I should say. No, but it does give us the principle of when we should obey or disobey those in authority over us. Three things, three ways when we can disobey here. And the first of these is when we're asked or commanded to do something against God's Ten Commandments or an interpretation of them. If you're commanded to murder someone, I'm not talking about just war, but if you're commanded to murder someone, you should refuse. Implication. If you're a doctor commanded to abort a baby, you should refuse that command. We can disobey, or we're called to disobey, when we're asked to do something immoral or something that's unethical. Against God's commandments, something immoral or unethical. Then thirdly, if it goes against our conscience. And here is where things can get a bit mucky. Conscience is often used badly as an argument. My conscience means I can't do that. But the best explanation that I've read and that I've heard of is this. Conscience is a valid argument for disobeying when it is informed by Scripture and is in submission to God's word. So when we look at the principles on God's word and when we say we cannot do this, then conscience is a valid excuse. But where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line as to where to obey? That is a good question. Now note that our passage doesn't say that we don't need to obey when we have a bad government or when we think we have a bad government. There's no limitation here on the quality of the authority over us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 13. 1 Peter 2. As you're turning there in Titus 3 verse 1, we read, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Again, the idea that submit to authorities. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, we read this. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And the Apostle Peter goes on to speak to servants, but he has in mind still here general authority structures. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. It's not because the authority is a bad authority that we don't need to obey them. And in fact, we have our Savior's example of submitting to authority that eventually sent him to his death. And it's important to remember in these biblical times when these things were being written, they didn't have benevolent leaders. They faced persecution. They faced mistreatment. So where do we draw the line when it comes to disobeying authority? We do so with care. As a session, we wrestled with this as we've gone through COVID. And the line that we chose to draw in terms of obeying the authorities was when we were not allowed to, in any form, gather together as a church. When especially, as part of that, churches specifically were targeted. You understand the difference? When churches were specifically targeted. We came close to that in our first lockdown. When the comment was made, brothels and bars were open, but churches were closed. But we certainly didn't come that close the second lockdown. As a session, we made the decision to obey in areas where we could obey. But sadly, it seems in the coming years, there will be areas where we won't be able to obey. Areas such as sexual identity. And in line with that, things such as hate speech and the like. Those are going to be questions we face as a church together. church is called against as God's servant. We are called to obey. But finally, we are called also to pay. Called also to pay. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 13, Romans 13 verse 5, we read, "Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience." There's that word conscience. But obeying for the sake of conscience is there, but it's also paying for the sake of conscience. Paying what is due because we know that it is right to do so, and because Scripture tells us that it is right to do so. Conscience, what is right, is the reason that we pay our taxes, as our passage goes on to say in verse 6. It reminds us again, for because of this, because we must be subject to authorities, because it's for the sake of our conscience, because we know it's right, we also should pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. Again, they come as his servants. We should pay our taxes willingly, respectfully. We should pay revenue, which is, in our modern situations, essentially included in taxes. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed. But it's more than that. We are also called to respect to whom respect is owed, honour to whom honour is owed. Now, don't misread this word here, owed. It's not on the merits that we perceive of those in authority over us. It's not show honour to those who you think are worthy of honour. Now, the implication, the idea of our passage here, is because they are in authority over you, you owe them honour. You owe them respect. Because God has placed them there. Now, it's not easy to do so, especially when they're not honourable. But we need to be careful about how we speak about those in authority over us. One politician just this past week made a comment about Trevor Mallard. I won't say who that politician is at this time, out of respect in some form, but Speaker Trevor Mallard, the Speaker of the House, who's been under fire lately and has recently resigned, and this politician said this: "He's lucky Mallard hunting season ended 2 days ago on the 6th of June, but there's one more duck that still needs to go." Now, it's quite funny, isn't it? But it's not really that respectful of his office. I have from time to time found myself calling our Prime Minister Auntie Cindy. Now, that would be fine if that was a term of endearment, but I have to confess I'm not using it as a term of endearment. There's a temptation for us on social media to speak about our politicians with disrespect, especially when what they do, and I acknowledge that fully, is dishonourable. By all means, we should call out the wrong decisions that we make, but we should do so carefully, still giving them honour, not making fun of them, not demeaning them, not ridiculing them, because that is resisting authority. Honour to whom honour is owed, respect to whom respect is owed. Besides, would you want their job? I wouldn't want their job. It's easy to criticise our government. It's harder to sit down and work out a better solution. But brothers and sisters, our challenge this afternoon is to submit to the authority. And one of the things that has struck me as we've gone through COVID is that I've heard a number of people saying, "Where can we disobey? Where can we disobey the government?" I think that's the wrong question. The question we should be asking on the basis of Romans 13 is, how can we obey? Looking for ways to obey first and foremost, rather than thinking about where we can disobey. That's showing respect to the authorities. By all means, not going against God's commands, but still honouring and respecting them. So, brothers and sisters, God save our Queen. God save our Prime Minister. Let's pray for them. Now, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to chafe against the authority that is over us. Especially when we disagree so strongly, so violently against decisions that they make. But your word here acts as a mirror to us this afternoon. Asks us to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, are we giving them the honor and respect that is due? We thank you for the reign of our Queen, Queen Elizabeth. We thank you for the way that she has sought, imperfectly, yes, but sought to follow her Saviour. We pray for these autumn years of her reign. We pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for our Cabinet. And we do plead with you, God save her. May she first and foremost know the hope of Jesus Christ as her Saviour. And we pray for all in our Parliament that they would do so. But if that is not your will, Father, help us to continue to respect and honour them as and obey them as we are able. And in these coming years, Father, as it becomes more and more difficult, and we seriously do need to consider where we cannot obey, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for humility. We pray for wisdom as to how to proceed. Father, it is getting more and more difficult to stand up for biblical truth. Help us to do so with gentleness and respect. As the Apostle Peter says, always being prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have, but with gentleness and respect. Help us to do so, Heavenly Father, still giving honour and respect to those above us. But we also look forward, Heavenly Father, and a reminder of the fact that our King Jesus is still in control, and he knows and sees what is happening, and one day he will call it all to account. Remind us of that truth when we struggle also. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.